Good morning, Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov, a good Chodesh. Welcome back to Living with Emunah. Mishenichnas Adar Marben B'Simcha. We love to say every year, the Tzaddikim say Mishenichnas Adar doesn't mean when you enter the calendar, because it's not so simple. Some people sitting in this room, people watching, listening online, there are things happening in their lives that just because the calendar says the first of Adar doesn't mean you're happy, doesn't make you happy. People who are struggling, people who are lonely, people who are longing, people who are waiting, people who are wondering how they're going to pay their bills, just because they flipped the calendar from the funeral home and it says Adar doesn't mean that all of a sudden you become happy. So what do you mean? Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin it's Adar. I'm supposed to be happy. I didn't realize, but I still don't have a job. I still don't have a spouse. I don't have children. I still have this ailment. I didn't realize. Mishenichnas Adar. So I say every year, I'm talking to myself. You can listen in. Mishenichnas Adar doesn't mean when we enter the month of Adar. Mishenichnas Adar means when Adar enters us. Adar is Aleph Dar. Aleph is the Alufo Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel, the Almighty. Aleph, the letter Aleph, the one and only is Hashem. Dar means to dwell. Adar, when Hashem dwells in us, when we realize that we embrace our place and we are where we're meant to be and everything is for a reason, our lives are not random and chance, but everything is carefully choreographed and curated from above, specifically and directly for us. There's no coincidence, there's no chance, there's no randomness. It all is the way it's supposed to and meant to be. So why are you panicked and why are you worried? Mirtz Hashem, this Motzei Shabbos. Mirtz Hashem, we'll see what happens. But taking 25 guys from the community, we're going to learn in Israel for a few days. And everyone's super excited. And there's a lot of work that went into it. And now all the talk is everybody put in to try to get an upgrade. And everybody's worried and wondering and davening. And I said, first of all, certainly Hashem's going to give it to me, so I don't have to worry. I'm just joking, Hashem. I was just joking. But like, what are you worried? You did what you needed to do, so you'll end up in the seat where you're supposed to be, sitting next to whoever you're supposed to sit next to. It's when the Mishenichnas Adar, when you don't just enter the calendar, but Adar enters you, from silly things like that to big things of life, you're not worried. Because you know everything is the way it's supposed to be. So you're right, you don't just become happy because you've entered the month of Adar. But Mishenichnas Adar means when Adar enters you, Marben B'Simcha. If you walk around thinking, I'm in charge, I'm in control, oh, it's all on me, and what's going to be, and I don't know how it's going to work out, then you're miserable and frabissin and negative and resentful, and no one wants to be around you. But Mishenichnas Adar, Aleph Dar, when Hashem enters us and our lives, Marben B'Simcha. So now you're calm, cool, composed, confident, have clarity, patient. Now Marben B'Simcha, I'm joyful. Why am I joyful? The problems are still there. Joyful because I take my initiative, I do my thing. So Mishenichnas Adar doesn't mean that we enter the month, we enter the calendar. Mishenichnas Adar means Adar enters us. All that is a long way of saying a good Chodesh, Chodesh Tov to everybody. Should be a wonderful Adar. We have many sponsors this morning. The Emunah Shir, first of all, the series is generously sponsored by Dr. Zavi and Bella Morgan in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Alan Chanzer. Remain very, very grateful to the Morgans. Also, series is co-sponsored anonymously in memory of the fallen soldiers and alumni of B'nai David, Mechina, and Yeshiva Ne'eli. After 31 weeks of honoring the heroes of October 7th, we honor the memories of additional alumni who fell in service of their country, like Lieutenant Hadar Golden Hashem Yikom Damo, who grew up in Kfar Saba with his twin brother Tzur, their siblings. He was a natural leader and artist. And we know he studied in Eli before enlisting in the IDF. He became a platoon commander. In August 2014, during Operation Protective Edge, he was killed. His body was taken into Gaza for a long time. And we had the honor of hosting his parents in person and on our podcast as they advocated and fought and davened and longed for the return of his body. His remains were held over 11 years and finally returned for burial, full military honors, and certainly we dedicate our shir to him. Today's shir is sponsored by Ellen and Ari Fishel, in memory of her dear father, Pesach Zeva Levi, on his 18th Yahrzeit, and in honor of their daughter, Elior Dina, becoming a bat mitzvah mazel tov, lots of nachas. Anonymously, Leila Nishmas, dear father, Rafal Chaim Tzvi ben Hananya Yom Tov Lipa, anonymously, in the schus of their grandfather, Leo ben Rachmon, anonymously, Leila Nishmas, Rafal ben Clara, anonymously, in the schus of Fega Zissel Bas, Rachel Breindel, for a shirach Bekarov Mamish. Look forward to hearing good news. The Kranzler family, in memory of Moshe Kranzler on his first Yahrzeit. Special man, big loss. And gratitude for the strength and inspiration the shir gives. By Lisa and Seth Kaufman, devoted listeners, in honor of Seth's late parents, Mordechai ben Yosef, Leah Bas Rivka, Lauren Weissman, in memory of Ann Kenningson, Chana Bas Tzvi Hirsch, Neshama should have an aliyah. And honestly, Chodesh Tov with all of Hashem's blessings to all of Am Yisrael. And by Lauren and Eric Stein, in honor of their holy niece's 21st birthday, a very, very happy birthday to Livia Kohava, who listens to our shir. We're so honored and grateful. Happy birthday. Give your aunt and uncle and all around you a lot of nachas. Thank you to our generous, generous sponsors. Okay, we're going to dive back into our emails, but we don't read emails. It was recently described, oh, the shir, the first half or more, they read emails. Then we don't read emails. We darshan emails. We learn up emails. We read an email and it gets us to extrapolate and extract and understand and analyze and dive in. So the email is just another platform for the learning. So we have the Sefer, which is the Torah text, and the emails, which are Torah text that people are sending in their real life, living with Emunah, and then we darshan it. Rabbi Gober, thank you for the teaching. Blah, blah, blah. Don't worry, my family has donated to the global campaign. Oh, I forgot. Thank you so much, Mazel Tov. I forgot because you don't have to hear about it anymore. All your tefillos have been answered and you're done having to hear about it. But from the bottom of my heart, an enormous thank you. We've reached 107% of our campaign. So thank you, thank you. Really applauding for yourselves. Really, really grateful to those who are partnering. There are over 800 families in 167 cities around the world, which reflects just how far and wide our movement of learning and growing is. That's an enormous source of satisfaction and pride. We learned in the Parsha Shir yesterday, you're allowed to have pride when it's something that's serving Hashem. And it's not me, it's us. And it's the Torah that we're learning and teaching and sharing. So I thank all of you around the world, 167 cities and counting. Thank you for your generosity. So the author of the email writes, don't worry, we donated to the global campaign. I also want to thank you for raising awareness about the importance of donating to the establishments and services that help sustain Torah, mitzvahs, and everything else. I'm writing because this Hanukkah, my Savta insisted I ask her for something. And I ended up asking for a new Tanakh, specifically a pink Koran Tanakh with the tabs. Pink Koran Tanakh, there are tabs that delineate the different Svarim of Tanakh. When I went to send her the link, I accidentally clicked on the identical sitter. When I opened it, I realized my mistake, but I couldn't return it. It came with my name engraved. Previously ordered a sitter with her name instead of sending a link for the Tanakh, by accident reordered the same sitter she had. I was a little upset at first. I felt bad for not reading the description, wasting my Savta's money on something I already had. I knew that I must have been meant to have this new sitter, but I was unsure why. Then I listened to last week's Living with Emunah, and I heard the letter from the one who had taken it upon herself to listen to sitter snippets from the very start. He spoke about the importance of highlighting and annotating Svarim, especially our Siddurim. You remember last week? We spoke about the sitter is a safer. We think about our bookcase, our wall, the Jewish decor of Sfarim, and the sitter, oh, that's just the thing I daven from. And many do it from their phone today, which you shouldn't, because the phone is filled with distractions. Actually, we're putting out our conversation with Rabbi Kalish, I think next week's Behind the Bima. This week was great. If you haven't yet listened, listen to my friend Rabbi Steve Berg, CEO of Aish. What they're doing is unbelievable. How many millions they're reaching, and they're just getting started. Well worth the listen. But next week, Rabbi Kalish actually, interestingly, endorsed davening from the phone, because he just got a smartphone, filtered, careful, but he holds that the phone is a vessel of holiness because it allows you to connect and care about people. It lets you FaceTime with children and grandchildren. It lets you check in on people and make sure they're okay. It lets you sign up for meal trains and bring food to those who need. It lets you, and when you daven from it, he holds, you're holding in your hand a kli, a vessel of holiness. An interesting take, more on that conversation, you'll hear it next week. So the sitter is a safer, it's a safer. And I encourage everyone, like every other safer, don't let your others inherit it covered in dust with the binding unbroken. Break it in, wear it out, mark it up. I know this isn't typical Amuna letter since nothing so dramatic happened. If anything, something beautiful came. But in that moment, I felt bad for being careless. Oh, sorry, I skipped. That's when I realized that perhaps I was gifted this beautiful new sitter to motivate myself to listen to sitter snippets and annotate it. I know this isn't a typical Amuna letter, nothing dramatic happened, but something beautiful came my way. In that moment, I felt bad for being careless. I also wanted to let you know, since I saw the purpose of my sitter through the shir, as a reminder myself that every moment can be an Amuna moment, even the smallest things in daily lives, which they can. So instead of being annoyed, frustrated, why did I press the button? Why did I waste the money? Why do I have a duplicate sitter? What's the message? And that email is a reminder to all of us, sometimes we're living in supersonic speed and things just happen. We have enough room and space to be annoyed, but we don't actually press pause to say, what's the message? What's the lesson? What's the avoda? Joey Newcomb was just here at the amazing Hadar dinner. Joey Newcomb, everything that happens whenever he's flying, he always posts a video of himself landing, taking off. What's the avoda, chevra? What's the avoda? What's the avoda? Ari Mirzov, what's the avoda? So when we go through life and things happen to us, I just ordered a duplicate sitter. Let me press pause. Let me stop and think. Let me consider. What's the deeper meaning? What's the deeper purpose? What can I do with this moment? Not because we're trying to play God and figure out his ways that we can't do and never will be able to do. Included in the belief in God is the admission that there are things we can't and won't understand. And to demand to understand, to feel entitled to understand, to pretend that we understand is to play God is an act of heresy. So we press pause not to play God. We press pause to say, what can I do with this moment? What can I learn from it? How can I grow from it? What can I change about it? Or in the words of Rav Hirsch, not to ask lama, why, but to ask lima, for what? So not lama, oh, why'd I wait? Why'd I press the button? Why'd I reorder the same sitter? Lama, why? Why, God? Not a big why, but why? But instead, lima, okay, what should I do with it? Ooh, I'll start listening to sitter snippets. I'll mark it up. I'll have an extra sitter. To ask and to think in that way. Hi, Rabbi, hope all is well. Blah, blah, blah. I'm writing after coming off an incredible community event that I was zochet to help run here in our community. This is not yet a Tehillim 23 sighting. I'm still waiting, maybe one day soon. Baruch Hashem, I had the tremendous chus to plan and run a community challah bake for the women and girls of, I'll say, the city, Baltimore. Over 750 women and girls attended. That's a challah bake. The goal of the event was to come together in Achdus at a time of simcha and to unite in tefillah. Sadly, over the past year, our community has gathered far too often during times of tzara. We wanted this to be a moment of joy and togetherness. Ms. Robertson Howard started off the night sharing that she grew up in Baltimore, never saw so many women in one room gathering, not in a time of tzara. Our goal was accomplished. I want to share a personal Muna moment, one that felt like a real turning point for me. I'd spent weeks, months planning the event, stories specifically about our centerpieces. Coordinating centerpieces tables for 750 women was no small task. We wanted everything to be elegant and beautiful. Many of the centerpieces included wheat. One shipment arrived the week before the event, but two large orders were scheduled to arrive Wednesday morning so we could finish everything in time for the Thursday event. Here's where the moment happened. All day Wednesday, I somehow thought it was Thursday. As I always do on Thursday mornings, I put on the Living with the Moon a shir, completely unaware that it was actually Wednesday. In the shir, the woman was sharing a story about a woman who was always mafrish challah, even in Bulgaria. In the middle of listening to the story about the mitzvah, and by the way, BRS Global did work from Bulgaria. She wrote it didn't, but she made her donation, and we're very grateful. About the mitzvah of Rosh Challah, I received a screenshot from the woman running the event. The wheat delivery had been delayed until Friday. The message simply said, I paused the shir, took a deep breath, and sent a voice note back saying, this is the craziest thing. I'm listening to Lemuna shir, and our wheat is exactly where it's meant to be. We're going to embrace where we are, and we'll figure it out. For me, that reaction was huge. I don't know if those would have been my words or my response in the past. Baruch Hashem, the story ends well. Ran to Trader Joe's, found florals that could work. And we adjusted. Everything came together beautifully. No one even knew there had been an issue. But for the next 24 hours leading up to the event, the phrase became our motto. Each time something else came up, we handled it calmly with smiles, knowing Hashem was running the show. And we simply announced, we are where we're meant to be. I want to thank the Rav for the chizik, blah, 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 with much hakaras hatov. Sounds like a beautiful event. Again, I'm just repeating. I can't believe you come back or listen anymore. But for me, it's chizik every week because we all have those moments. You could get bent out of shape. You could lose your cool. You could get angry and frustrated. You could point fingers and blame. Or you could press pause and say, okay, we did everything right. We ordered it in time. We paid. We did all that we were supposed to do. For whatever reason, it wasn't delivered. So we weren't meant to have it. What's next? Let's pivot. What's next? And you can still smile. Mishenichnas Adar. When Adar enters us. Adar, Alev Dar, Alufo Shalaldam Dar. Adar is a synonym for Emunah. Aleph Dar, God dwelling with us. I don't want to get into this, but what is Purim? What is the month of Adar? How many times does Hashem's name appear in the Megillah? Zero, none. If you read the Megillah as a critic, if you read the Megillah as a cynic, then you'll say, ah, what a string of coincidences. Look how things worked out. What does that do with God? You could read the Megillah as an atheist or agnostic and still find it to be a nice story. But what's our mission and purpose? We're reading, it's called Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther because we're Megala the Nistar. We are revealing that which is hidden. Megillah means a scroll, but Megala means to reveal. Esther is her name. She's named that because God's hiddenness, Nistar, is hidden. Megillas Esther, Megala the Nistar. We don't read the Megillah like everybody else. The atheist, agnostic, cynic, they read the Megillah sarcastically saying, string of coincidences. We read the Megillah and press pause, figuratively, and say, that was God. That was a Hashem moment. There's a Hashkacha Pratis moment. All over the Megillah, Purim is one big Hashkacha Pratis voice note. Purim is one big Hashkacha Pratis entry into our journal, where we're Megala the Nista, we reveal the hidden, and the whole Avoda, the whole work of this month that we've just started, is to do the same in our lives, where you could look at the event of your life and say, God's name doesn't appear. I don't see God. Where did he reveal himself? There's no open miracle. Or we could write his name in. We could read between the lines. We could reveal that which is hidden. We can find him in the story. You could be frustrated at wherever you ordered it from. Angry at Amazon. What happened? We ordered it on time. We paid in full. Where is it? Why hasn't it arrived? Or you could be Megala the Nister and say, we weren't meant to have that. We have better centerpieces in mind. Ladies, let's figure it out. What's next? What's next? And you do it with a smile. That's the Marbim B'Simcha. The Simcha isn't fake. It's not artificial. The Simcha is real. Because when you live with Emunah, you find joy and happiness. You find serenity and peace. Peace of mind that we all so desperately want. Dear Rabbi, I would love to hear Rebbetzin Yocheveda behind the bima more often for a woman's perspective. There's nothing to do with Emunah, but we allowed it anyway. I'd also love to hear an answer to the question. How much to open up about her personal life challenges through the community members? On one hand, it makes being a Rebbetzin more personal. On the other, important to be guarded a little. Maybe she'll speak about it next week when she gives the Emunah Shir when I'm away. Everyone want to hear Yocheva give the Emunah Shir next week while I'm away? Okay. I don't know if she's going to record it and stream it. Sorry. No? But she may give it. We'll announce it. We'll let you know. My weekly Emunah moment. Now, Rami Levy, there's a new weighted system where you scan items as you go and weigh the card at the end to check out. If you haven't seen it, it's Israeli innovation. It's fantastic. You get a little scanner, and as you shop, you scan each product. And because the computer knows whatever you scanned, its weight, and it knows how much the, whatever that thing is called, weighs, the cart, then you stand on a scale, probably not you, because then no one would shop, but you put the cart on a scale, and it knows precisely. Like if you have an extra feather in the cart, right? You have this experience? If there's an extra feather, if you put an extra like little ketchup packet, it'll be like extra ketchup packet, you didn't scan it. It knows precisely. But also if you forgot to scan something, it knows precisely. So the author writes, my weekly Emunah moment is my shopping for my campus Friday night. This is from a Rebbetzin who, the Jewish Learning Initiative on campus, very special people doing amazing, amazing holy work. When I'm shopping for my campus Friday night meal and usually one other event, sushi, rolling night, birthday, kiddush, couples day night, late night, ladies Rosh Chodesh, I have my cart full on the scale. I pray to Hashem as I'm holding the scanner that I've scanned everything and I don't have to rescan with the cashier. See the photo. That's a lot. Hashem usually passes me. There've been a couple of times where I have to unload everything and start over, but I try to tell myself the delay is where I'm meant to be. Baruch Hashem, this week it passed with a little mullah jingle and text appearing on the screen of the scanner. So, there you go. Little Emunah moments when it works out in that way. Also grateful to Hashem. Okay, this one's a little tougher. I want to do something a little different. I want to read you the email, and I want to read to you what I wrote back in response, because we're learning it up. This is not the emails, then the learning. We're learning through the emails. Rabbi, I hope you and your family are well. Thank you for all you do. And the author writes, yada, yada, yada. You always talk about a wink from Hashem. What would you say about the following? The night before I was scheduled for a cancer test, we went out to dinner at a Chinese restaurant. When I opened up my fortune cookie, there was no fortune. When we left the restaurant, my car wouldn't start. The next morning, my watch stopped working. When they wheeled me in for the biopsy, the clock on the wall wasn't working. You always say there's no such thing as a coincidence. What do you make of all these things? By the way, P.S., the results of the biopsy were not good. That's a tough email. The wink and the nod work out when you got the parking spot, when you made the flight, when you scanned all the items in your cart. Those are wonderful hugs and winks. When the results came back, and we worried for nothing. But what about that email? So I wrote back the following. First, I want you to know how much I admire your courage. To go through what you're going through and still be looking for a wink from Hashem, that itself is a wink, and that itself is a emunah. You describe a string of things. No fortune in the cooking, the car not starting, the watch stopping, the clock frozen. It's eerie. It gets your attention, and you're right. I do say there's no such thing as a coincidence, but here's what I would gently suggest. Not every sign is a message about what will be. Sometimes the message is simply, I'm here. Feel my presence, talk to me, or even scream at me. When time seems to stop, watches and clocks, maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam is whispering, stop. This moment matters. I'm in the room with you. You're not alone in this biopsy suite. I was with you at the restaurant. I was with you in the parking lot. I'm with you now. A missing fortune may be a reminder that our future is not in a cookie, not in a clock, not in a test result, but it's in Hashem's hands. And while that can feel terrifying, it's also the most secure place we could possibly be. The results were not what you hoped for. And I'm so, so deeply sorry. I'm davening for you. It's heavy, it's frightening, and Amunah doesn't mean pretending otherwise. It means crying when you need to cry, davening when you need to daven, and questioning while still holding on. The fact that you're strengthening yourself with living with Amunah, you're searching for meaning instead of surrendering to despair, it's heroic. A wink from Hashem is not always that everything will be okay. Sometimes it is that He is with you, even when it's not. That you're not alone, not even in the biopsy room. May the Ribbono Shel Olam send you a refuah shleima, strength for your body, calm for your heart, bracha in ways that defy the predictions of any test. May you continue to feel His presence in the unmistakable love. Please share your name, of course, so we can daven for you. These are tough, tough moments and not easy. And I want to reiterate, really coming back to, I guess, what is a theme of today so far, which is that when we press pause, it's not to try to play God. What does it mean? What is He telling me? What is it all about? What is He saying? Because we're not God and we don't know and we can't understand. He's infinite and omnipotent and we're finite and limited. And we can't play God, not in those moments, not in any moments. What we can do is say, okay, what can I do with it? How can it motivate me? How can it jumpstart me? How can it inspire me? How can I interpret it for inspiration? That's our mission. That's our mandate. That's what we're supposed to do with that moment. Tough. These are tough. We'll read one more and then we'll get into our text. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, thank you for being the messenger to give me my hug from Hashem. Here's my Tehillim 23. You were worried that we were going to break our streak. I saw the fear and panic in your face and we couldn't go on. Here's my Tehillim Chav Gimel contribution. I'm working on a project with my Tehillim teacher and friend who lives in Israel. This was written for a 7-year-old child going through a difficult period in her family life, but it could be for anyone, any age. When I was just starting my journey to knowing more about Judaism, I used to go to Shalashidus and I dreamt of the day I'd be able to sing Mizmor LeDavid, when I would know the song. Tehillim is my passion. When I read Tehillim, I can feel David right next to me giving me hope, giving me a hug from Hashem. Now I realize I don't only need to sing this Mizmor, but live it. It's literally living with Emunah, right? Mizmor LeDavid, that's how we started this whole string of sightings. Hashem is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Lo echsar, what I shouldn't lack is knowing He's my shepherd. In the biopsy room, at the Chinese restaurant, when the car won't start, He's still my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And not just talk about the shepherd, but know the shepherd. You can't imagine the impact, yada, yada. So this is a poem written, Tehillim 23, for a special girl. And this is it. We could post it later if you'd like to have a copy of it. Long ago, there was a king named David. He was the greatest king of the Jewish people. He was very brave. He was very kind. He loved Hashem with his whole heart. Before David was a king, he was a shepherd. He watched sheep all day. Sometimes he was alone. Sometimes he was scared. Sometimes things were very hard. When David felt sad or worried, he did something special. He sang to Hashem. He made songs called Tehillim. These songs helped him feel strong, safe, and loved. Tehillim 23 is one of David's songs. It is a song about Hashem taking care of us, just like a shepherd takes care of his sheep. Mizmor David Hashem ro'i lo achsar. Hashem is my shepherd. Hashem is like a loving shepherd. He watches over me. He keeps me safe. He gives me what I need. Just like a sheep, never have to worry. I don't have to worry because He's taking care of me. He lets me rest in green grass. He leads me beside calm water. Hashem wants me to feel calm. He wants my heart to feel soft and quiet. Even when things around me feel busy or loud, He gives me peace inside. I can close my eyes and imagine green grass, soft wind, and quiet water. He's right there with me. He makes me feel good and shows me the right way to go. Sometimes I feel tired inside. Sometimes I feel sad or mixed up. Hashem helps my heart feel better. He always shows me a good path. Every place He leads me is a place where I can grow and become stronger. She goes through the entire Tehillim Chav Gimel. Post it if you want to read it. It's a beautiful poem that breaks it down. We can all do it in our lives for ourselves as well because it is so incredibly powerful. Okay. Oh, man. So many. Please keep writing them, as I always say. I got such a pile. I don't know how to choose. They're all amazing. Okay, one more. Two more? 10 more? Because we have such incredible text today also. So many more 23 Psalm sightings. I'll leave you some to read next week. I enjoyed listening to Living with Emunah. I am where I'm meant to be has become part of my lexicon. I was thinking, in addition to Psalm 23, it might be time to add Tehillim Kuf, Mizmor LeSoda. In particular, after listening to Rebbe Zinshechter's description of people who came to the house requesting intervention but never followed up to share whether their prayers have been answered, this lack of follow-up could be perceived as a lack of Hakaras HaTov, even to Hashem. It's wonderful to feel God's presence during difficult times, all the more wonderful to thank Him for His intervention and support. Here's my Tehillim Kuf, Psalm 100 story that inspired this email. Our family is going through a bit of a challenging time at the moment. We've been truly privileged to see miracles of Hashem's help guiding, helping hand guiding us. But the stress is ever present. I often listen during my morning swim, including Living with Emunah. This morning, I just couldn't concentrate on the shiur because of the stress. I decided to switch to a music track. That's when I got a wink and hug from Hashem. The first song that popped up was Mizmor LeSoda. I smiled and was grateful for the opportunity to thank Hashem once more for His abundant support during this time. Yasher Koach for all your amazing holy work. P.S. You're not going to believe it. Just as I signed off on the email, Spotify decided to play Mizmor LeDavid Psalm 23. Oh, wild? Unbelievable. Another great one. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Goldberg, it was nice to see you recently. Last couple of weeks have been truly roller coaster. 2 days after I came back from a trip, my father, who suddenly passed last year at the young age of 70, came to me in a dream 2 nights in a row smiling. His first yahrzeit had just passed a few days before. I realized I could be pregnant, and after taking a pregnancy test, in fact, I was. I had just been on roller coasters, taking strong medicine for a cold, everything you're not supposed to do when you're pregnant. It's been 4 years since I was able to get pregnant, so I was not expecting it. I was very surprised. First, my husband and I were taken aback because our kids are older. We didn't think we could anymore, and then we received this bracha. We embraced it with caution, and we're grateful to Hashem. Unfortunately, I did not feel so great for the first couple of weeks, and blood work wasn't promising. Last week, I was told I was going to have a miscarriage. This is my fourth miscarriage. Baruch Hashem, however, I have 3 beautiful, healthy children. My husband and I try to take the answer with love, understanding that sometimes all Hashem needs is kosher conception, but it's never easy. So here I was, not knowing when the cramps would suddenly begin, going to a work event. I armed myself with all the strength I had and got in the car. A ride that should have taken 1 hour was saying it would be an hour 45, which would mean I'd be 45 minutes late. So I channeled Rabbi Goldberg. I am exactly where I'm meant to be. I put on the Living with Emunah shiur. Along my very long ride, I got pulled over by a cop. You were speaking about Tehillim 23. Honestly, I wasn't sure why you kept going on about it, as it was based on another shiur. But as the cop went to check my record, I said it, along with Tehillim 86, Peivav, which is also very powerful Tehillim. Anyway, the cop came back and gave me a warning, no ticket. That was my first wink from Hashem. That was Hashem saying to me, I got you. The cramp started literally once the last donor left the room. That was my second wink from Hashem that day. It went on with my very long drive, and then you started speaking about women who had miscarriages. One on Parshas Beshalach. The week of Parshas Beshalach, we went to the doctor for an ultrasound because the blood work wasn't making sense. He thought he'd find nothing, but in fact, he found a sac measuring 5 weeks. We were all surprised, especially the doctor. While the pregnancy didn't materialize, it was a wink from Hashem that there was something there. We spent Parshas Beshalach singing Shira to Hashem, making Kiddush, and hoping for better news. Well, that's not the news we received. Hashem let me know I could get pregnant, even at my age. I don't yet have my bigger wink of a baby in my arms, and maybe I never will. I don't understand why my father came to me in that dream to announce the pregnancy, and then it didn't work out. It's still very hard, and yet this time I'm calmer than other times. I understand it's better now than later on, and if it's not meant to be. I also internalized that maybe all the neshama needs was a kosher conception, a mikvah shomer, or mitzvah's parents. I apologize for the long email. I appreciate, again, the comfort. I'm going to read this part, even though it's awkward for me, but I ran into this person, and she shared it with me. She wrote, I appreciate, again, the comfort you gave me. I initially brushed it off, and the more I thought about it, I really appreciated it. My friends and family around me all said, maybe it's for the better. You've so much on your plate. Maybe you should think about not trying anymore. I know it comes from a place of love, and I know I have a beautiful family, but that's not what I needed to hear. What I needed to hear was, I'm sorry you're hurting, I'm sorry for your loss, and I feel your pain. And I'm so grateful that's what you said. Good Shabbos. She shared, as we've talked about before, that even with the Emunah Shir, and as much as we are learning it and trying to live it, we're not meant to impose it on others. Emunah is how we interpret and experience and go through what we do. Nechama Comfort, I see you. We'll send her. There are amazing organizations for people who are going through these difficult moments. But as we've learned and shared, our Emunah is not meant to be imposed and projected onto others. You don't tell somebody going through a tough time who told you about the miscarriage they're having, or at the Shiva call that you're paying, or the Tomchei Shabbos you're delivering. You don't say, oh, I just heard this Emunah Shir. Embrace your place. You're meant to have this miscarriage, the best thing that ever happened to you. Why are you so sad sitting Shiva? That person's in a better place. You had them all this time. Smile. You don't say that. That's not how we're supposed to live with Emunah. Emunah we don't project or demand or coerce on others. And so when someone's going through a time, you say, that stinks. I feel your pain. That's so hard. I'm with you by your side. What can we do to help? You don't give a lecture in Emunah. And that she shared with me. Again, I'm grateful in that moment. Hashem put those words in my mouth. I don't think I'm exceptional. Many of you, most of you, all of you do too. But it's important to remember that. As excited, as pumped, as much as we're turning and expanding this into a movement, it's a movement to inspire ourselves. That's true with people going through a hard time. By the way, it's true with your spouse and children or your neighbor or friend. Just because you're on fire with Emunah, don't come home and demand or expect from other people in your life. Because instead of their being more excited about it, you're going to actually push them further away. The best thing you can do is model it and show and demonstrate. Wow, you're different. You're a better spouse. You're a better parent. You're a better friend. You're a better worker. You're a better colleague because you're living with Emunah. Smile more. You're happier. You're more go with the flow. You're more flexible. You're more living life. When someone says, I notice you're different. What's going on? What's happening with you? Then you could get in and explain, you know, the more I embrace my place and I let go like God, the more I live with Hashem, the more I press pause and try to grow from the moment, the happier I've become. And if you want to know more about it, I'm happy to tell you, but that's the more important and the better attitude to bring. So as inspired as we are, as much as we're trying to grow this, last week somebody sent me a picture of a shul. You know, shuls have big screens and it promotes upcoming program. So there was a picture of the cover of the podcast, Living with Emunah. And apparently in that shul, there's a group that get together to watch it and then they talk about it. So they watch it together and then they talk about it. Where in their life did they see? All kinds of exercises, conversations, discussions. Love to duplicate and replicate and expand that and grow that. It was really exciting. Page Kufla Megimel, Shari Tfilo. Rav David Avuchatzer, L'kayim Es HaTorah Kedosh B'Shash Ozik B'Maso Matan Kashem Ma'od. This is very important. Listen carefully. This beautiful teaching, we have plenty of sheets up here if you want to read and follow inside and mark it up and underline and asterisk and highlight and translate. Write the translation. You want to grow your Hebrew? Write the translation on top. My first summer at Moresh HaKolel in high school, which was my breakthrough in learning. I still have it at home. It's a cherished, cherished possession of mine. I had a Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and in those days, there was no art scroll. I had the maroon Sansino Gemara, and I sat that whole summer, and I wrote over from the English Sansino on top of every word. I have a Gemara Rosh Hashanah that over every word is handwritten the translation. Every daf, every amud, every word of that Gemara. That's the only way you're going to grow. So don't just be a passive spectator as I'm reading and translating. This Sefer I don't think is out in English yet. Sit. I make the handout for you. The trees died for you. So write the translation. Underline. If a sentence jumped out at you, look at it later. Share it. The Kaimis HaTorah Kedosh B'Shash Ozik Maso Matan Kashem Ma'od. To fulfill and live the Holy Torah while occupied with business and with life is very difficult. V'nitzrach l'kach shmira ma'ula. It's very hard. You know, it's easy when you come to shul for living with Emunah. You pour your coffee or your slushy, you take your pastry, you sit back and, ooh, I'm on fire. Hashem, he loves me, I love him. Oh, it's amazing. But then you go to work, you've got that miserable boss, you've got the person who's not really performing, you've got incredible work and deadlines that you have to meet and you have to get done. You're exhausted and so many other things going on. You can't get to inbox zero, you can't get to inbox 100 if your life depended on it. And now you're supposed to be thinking about Hashem and Emunah and Torah. It's certainly incredibly hard. And it requires a Shmira Ma'ula, says Rav David Avuchatzera. It requires tremendous divine assistance. Shalola Daba Sheker. So hard to be honest and truthful, to have integrity. You say, that's not hard. We're honest people. But the truth is, in business, business is a place of tremendous exaggeration, distortion, manipulation. It's so easy, and we're so invited. Why are you late? Dog ate my homework. Whatever reason, it's so easy to distort, twist the truth, white lie. Shelo lahonos es chaveira b'riyo shmiya v'chol anyanim. And to not aggrieve a friend, a colleague, a coworker, a customer. V'zeo amel gadol. To be mindful, spiritual, to be present at work with godliness is hard. It's hard work. It's toil. Listen to what we're up to. I didn't see this. I didn't plan this. I didn't prepare this. Listen to what we're up to and listen to remember what we gave out last week. So what should you do when you're going out to work? Stop at the threshold, at the doorway, and put your hand on the mezuzah and recite a tefillah. Last week we gave out the little sign to put under the mezuzah. There are no coincidences. The fact that Julie Ehrlich gave me that box to give out the week before, we're about to learn this suggestion of Rav Zalman Avuchatzera, there are no coincidences. Hashem is loving this year. Ribono Shel Olam, Ana Shmoro Osi Midvar Sheker Meleitzanos. Hashem, I'm going into work. Help me, protect me, guide me, inspire me. Let me not distort or twist the truth. Let me not, Leitzanos, be a clown, be frivolous. Let me not waste time. Protect me, Merechilus Mesenes Chinam. Let me not gossip, even at the water cooler. Let me not be filled with hate or introduce any tension. Umishar Dvar Maroim, for all other bad things that could go wrong. It's a beautiful image. I would expand it. Not only when you're going out to work, when you're going out wherever you're going. Going to the gym, I'm going to the supermarket, wherever I'm going. That mezuzah is on the doorway for a reason. And whether it's on our way out to take all of our values of our home with us, whether it's on our way in, how we're going to behave, inspire, inform, empower us on our way in. Let me, at the gym, let me look at what I'm supposed to look at. Let me think what I'm supposed to think. Let me be safe and secure. Let me be successful. Let it be productive. Everything, wherever we're going, whatever we're doing, there's the opportunity for a little tefillah, a little tefillah, a little Hashem, please help me. And what better place to do it than at the door with our hand on the mezuzah? That's why Hashem did it. He put a little Sefer Torah on the doorpost of everywhere we go. If you think about it, it's amazing. On the one end, the shul is the holy place. What are we going to read this week? Parshas Truma. We're being introduced to the Mishkan, which is a Mikdash Ma'at, the miniature temple, the Mishkan, the OG Mikdash, the tabernacle, the Mishkan, is the holy place because God wanted to have a dwelling place, a Dira B'tachtonim, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty, I wanted to have a dwelling place down here on earth. So he gave us the prescription, the formula to build him the house of God. And when you went there, you saw miracles. The Mishnah Navas says there were 10 miracles a day in the Beis HaMikdash. So a person was filled with doubt or uncertainty, they simply made their way to the Mikdash and then they gained their confidence. I have to embrace my place, let go, let God. The Mikdash is a place that I can be mindful, remember that there's a Hashem. There's a Hashem. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. What do we have? A shul, the Mikdash Ma'at, the miniature temple. And the shul is the place that we come to learn, to daven, to connect, to feel his intense presence. So you might think religious life, activity, spirituality is relegated to the shul. My home, that's a place where I make dinner, do homework, talk, schmooze, sleep, work out. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us is by giving us the mitzvah of mezuzah and putting it on the doorposts of our lives, he's transformed even what seemed to be mundane places into another level of a little mikdash, a little mikdash. You don't have to go to shul and open the Aron Kodesh. You don't have to go to shul and point or hold or kiss or touch the Torah. Every time you come in and out of that room, you put your hand on that mezuzah, it's a little Torah. Two parshios in the mezuzah come from our Torah. It's written on a cloth. It's written with ink. Those who learn the Daf Yomi, we just in Menachos covered all the sugyas of mezuzah. Sirtut, what has to happen, ink, cloth. It's a little miniature. It's rolled up and wrapped up. It is a little miniature Sefer Torah. On the doorway, the doorpost of our homes is a little miniature Sefer Torah. And we're supposed to, this is one of our themes we're building on, the capacity, the ability, I have to work on it, to press pause. We're normally running in a room, running out of a room. We don't even remember the room. Were we talking to someone on the way in, on the way out? We were on the phone, we were scrolling, we were texting, the room, the door, we don't remember anything. We're living in supersonic speed and we're destroying our lives in the process. And the ability to slow down and live life, because everything in life is meant to be lived and is better experienced when you slow it down. From savoring that glass of wine, slowly chewing that delicious food, enjoying that heilige cup of coffee, embracing that conversation and that time with a loved one or a dear friend. Everything in life is better slowed down. We are better. We process more. We experience more. We embed and remember more. So when you walk through that door, slow down. Stop. Put a hand on a mezuzah. You want to talk about the impact on others? Don't tell your spouse, your children. Don't demand them. Kiss the mezuzah. Touch the mezuzah. Don't forget the mezuzah. Let them just see you, what it does when you're walking in or out of the room, and when you do, how you're transformed by it. Maybe on your way in the room when you come home after a long and difficult day, you're frazzled and you're miserable, you're upset, you're angry, you're working on, but you touched the mezuzah, you took a deep breath and you restored your neshama with your neshima, and it restored you and centered you. And now I'm ready. I touched the mezuzah. I remember what has to happen in this home. I remember who I'm meant to be. I remember to be my best self. Let's go. Let's do it. We got it. What's my mission in this moment? That mezuzah is incredible. There's no technology. It's not multimedia. It's not battery powered, but it's the strongest thing in your house. The mezuzah is the strongest thing in your house. More than any device, it is broadcasting the loudest message. It can inject us. It is the shot that we need. Stop and touch it, says Rav David Avuchatzera. So you're going out to go to work or wherever you're meant to go. Stop and touch that mezuzah and offer Ribono Shel Olam, a little prayer. V'zeo perish b'mishnah yafet ha'matora im derech eretz she'tomid b'shas ha'isa g'maso v'matan yisnai g'kol al pi ha'torah. Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Derech eretz, in the context of this mishnah in Pirkei Avos, derech eretz doesn't just mean tuck your chair in. Certainly it does mean that. Derech eretz, have derech eretz. Say please, say thank you, tuck your chair in. That's derech eretz. Derech eretz, when the rabbis use the term derech eretz, they meant earning a living, a livelihood. That's derech eretz. When the Mishnah says, Yafet Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, it means bring the Torah with you to work. Bring the Torah with you to work doesn't mean neglect your work to be learning Torah. That's stealing from your employer. That's forbidden. Bring the Torah to work doesn't mean imposing on everyone around you Divrei Torah all day. Listen to this gematria. Listen to this vort. No. What it means, bring Torah, Talmud Torah, Yafet Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, bring God to work day. Bring God to work day is every day. Every day is bring God to work day. And at work, it means that when someone's frustrating you, disappointing you, something's not going your way, bring God to work. God's walking. He's by your side. He's right next to you. He's watching. He's lifting you. He's empowering you. But he's also watching you. How will you act and react? How will you treat the people around you, even when you're frustrated? In the planning, it's not going right, and you're in the office till late at night. Do you speak calmly and respectfully and nicely? Do you speak nicely to the people around you? Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. With the Derech Eretz at your place of work, Yafet Talmud Torah, bring Hashem. Every day is bring Hashem to work day. You know those people who, when they're at shul, they're one way? Sweet, kind, patient, spiritual, Baruch Hashem, Mirtz Hashem, big givers of tzedakah, they go to the Daf Yomi, they go to the Shir, and then when you encounter them in business, they're ruthless, they're mean, they're cutthroat. They need to win at all costs. So what just happened here? Who are you? Which are you? And in their mind, there's no contradiction. Yeah, that's shul. That's spiritual. That's kindness. That's tzedakah. That's volunteering. Work is work. And work brings out of such a person ruthless competition, marketing, cruelty to the people who work for them. No, we have to be the same person. Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Every day is bring God to work day. And if you're a different person at work than you are in shul or at home, then who's the real you? The Gemara says, Rav Yosef would make a big meal, a big celebration, when he accomplished Torah learning, because he said, without Torah, kama Yosef ika bashuk. So the simple translation, kama Yosef ika bashuk, without Torah, in my life, I'd be like any other Joe on the street. But the Bali Musa say, no, kama Yosef ika bashuk, kama Yosef, how many versions of me would there be? Without Torah to integrate my personality and my life, without Torah to make me live a consistent life, Kama Yosef Ikabashuk. How many versions of there would me would there be? There's the me at shul, the me at home. There's the me on the pickleball court. There's the me at work. There's the me late at night, the me in the early in the morning. There's the me when people are watching. There's the me when I'm alone. Without Torah informing, inspiring our life, how many versions of me would there be? So here Rav David Abuchatzera, exactly when we needed him to tell us to remember the value of the mezuzah, just when we got the sign to put underneath it, I love you, Hashem, is reminding us that our home is a little mikdash, and we have a little Sefer Torah posted on the door, and not just the front door. You might have thought the mitzvah of mezuzah is on the front door. I got it. That covers the whole house. Every door. Because every room in that house needs that mindfulness. From the kitchen, the little prayer before you put the potato kugel in the oven, the little prayer when someone was supposed to turn their oven off but missed the timer and the chicken got a little well done, the prayer, the serenity prayer. That's the serenity prayer. On that way out. There's a prayer in the kitchen. And then there's the mezuzah and the tefillah in the workout space. And there's also the tefillah in the bedroom. There's the mezuzah on all of these spaces, in every space, the little ribono shel olam, or what we hope, what we need, what we're grateful for. In each of those spaces, we have a little Sefer Torah pinned to the wall, reminding us, stop. Don't live sonic speed. Pause. Put your hand on the mezuzah. Say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you for this room and the people in it, everything I have. Thank you. Please, I need your help. Let this go well. Please, let me live up to my potential and be my best self at work, wherever we go. So emunah is not meant to be relegated simply to what we call holy spaces like a shul and a beis medrash. It comes with us and we live with it wherever we go and wherever we are. So next week, Yocheved's giving, not live, not streamed or recorded, but she'll be giving the emunah shir. And I hope, if we could wait a week to attack Iran, that would be great if you're listening. Mr. President, if you're listening, if you could wait a week, I'd really appreciate it. That would mean a lot to me personally and our group. If you can't, I understand. We'll embrace our place. We'll understand. But now, questions and answers quickly for those who are here in person and offline. For those watching, stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy.